The Rama concludes Hilchas Purim with the words Toiv Lev Mishteh Tamid. A person with his heart in the right place is, so to speak, partying always. You know what? In a large sense, the celebration of Purim is or was that we're not going to get into the long of it now. We'll get into the short of it now because I do want to move on. But that back in those days, the Jewish people had begun drifting. They were in Galus for the first time in their history after having arrived in Eretz Yisrael. And they began drifting and they needed a reminder to reconnect with Hashem. And the reminder came in the form of a Haman. I think we mentioned the other day, I don't know if we mentioned in this year, in the nightly year, that Haman was the greatest Kiruv activist in our history. You had the Nevi'im. Chazal tell us that he had a greater effect on Klal Yisrael than all of the Nevi'im had. The Nevi'im admonished Klal Yisrael. They brought the word of Hashem to Klal Yisrael, and it helped to different extents. Some people listened more than others. Sometimes it held more than others. When Haman came and simply said he's going to wipe everybody out, the response of the Jewish people was a sweeping, intense engagement of tefillah, tshuva, improvement. So it really, really reconnected the people with Hashem. In a very intense way, the Chazal mamish equate with Kabbalah Satira, with Har Sinai. You know what? Afterwards, it began with connecting with Hashem because we needed him desperately. We suddenly remembered that we're in trouble. We needed him desperately. But it culminated with the thrill of seeing Hashem respond and realizing that we are connected. That thrill. That thrill was something that made a shift in the connection. We began with calling out to Hashem desperately in trouble, and then it continued with reveling in the thrill of our newfound connection with Hashem. So, you know what? To a large extent, the message here is, and this is the message of continuing the celebration a bit into Shushan Purim, really for the purpose of continuing it the whole year round, is a fundamental point. Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to cry this out all the time. And you know what? To a large extent, it's the message of Chavis Halvavis. We're all familiar with the concept of calling out in distress, crying out in pain, crying out to Hashem when there's a trouble, Chalila. But to train ourselves to a lifestyle of crying out in happiness. Everything is good. Cry out to Hashem. Cry out to Hashem. Cry out, Hashem, things are wonderful. Hashem, you set me up so great, and I'm thrilled with the life that you are conducting for me. To cry out to Hashem in happiness. That's really the point that the Rama is making here. You want to continue the celebration of Purim. We want to show Hashem, we don't need reminders. We don't need reminders in the form of troubles, chas v'shalom. We keep reminded because of the fact that we see all the good that you're doing for us. And we're going to keep connected to you because of that. And we're going to cry out because of that. We're going to cry out about how in excitement. We're going to cry out in happiness. We're going to cry out in enthusiasm. So, mitz Hashem, it's takabi zoiche to carry the simcha of Purim well into our lives and then throughout the year. Mitz Hashem. Okay, now let's learn some Chavis Halvavis. Even though what we just discussed now, to a large extent, is a central theme threading Chavis Halvavis. But let's learn some Chavis Halvavis straight. So where we are now, we're in Shah Avodas Elokim. We're going to begin Perek Zayin. Beginning of Perek Zayin. In my late time edition, it's page Reish Nun Beis. If someone can tell us where that is in the English.
314.
Page 314 in the Feldheim English edition. Thank you very much. Yashar Koyach. Let's remember what we're up to in the Chavis Halvavis. And then this piece here is a very, very fundamental piece. The Chavis Halvavis in the preceding weeks has been training us to understand that you have to be assessing where you are on the map as a recipient of Hashem's chesed. the more chesed you're receiving, the higher your sense of dedication should be. The higher your sense of indebtedness should be, and consequently, the higher your sense of dedication should be. So you have to first have an idea of the goodness that you're receiving as a member of mankind. Then you have to have an idea of the privileges and the goodness, the favor that Hashem shows you as one of His people. And then you have to have an idea of the individual favor, the individual goodness that you're experiencing in your personal life. I'm making that short now. And corresponding to that, you need to be dedicating yourself to Hashem, to His service. And he concluded with a statement that could be a little scary. He said that the great people of yesteryear, if they would receive some benefit, if they some stroke of mazel came their way, it actually made them apprehensive. It made them apprehensive because of two reasons, he said. It made them apprehensive because, first of all, they would wonder, is this Hashem paying me off in this world? That was number one. And number two, they were apprehensive. Will I be able to live up to it? This now places upon me a demand to up my service. Will I be able to do that? Will I be able to justify this new benefit properly? Okay. So the Chavetz Chavos is going to provide now. If we just leave it hanging at that, it just leaves a person wondering, leaves a person in a state of uncertainty, and I can't really live up to it. How do I do that? The Chavetz Chavos is going to provide us now with a formula. But back to the first question, I also want to note that, because the Chavetz Chavos will address that later. How do you know some good fortune comes your way? Hashem does some special chesed for you. How do you know whether that is a sign of Hashem's favor, a stroke on the cheek from Hashem, or is it Hashem paying you off for some mitzvah in this world, which is considered a great misfortune? We're going to say in the Chavetz Chavos later that it's up to you to determine which of the two it is. In other words, the way you respond to it is what it's going to be. I'll illustrate that. Let's say I have a person, I'll illustrate with the following mashal. Let's say I have a person who is a rasha, doing everything wrong. And Hashem decides, okay, that's it. This person has stretched the rope enough. He has to die now. He's been a gang leader already for 15 years. He's accumulated enough averas, and now he has to die in a shootout. Just what? The problem is that he has some mitzvahs, he has some good deeds on his account. So Hashem says, and this is the type of guy that Hashem doesn't want to be busy with him in Olam Haba. So Hashem says, I'm going to pay him off in this world. You know what? I am going to give him a year now of special prosperity. He's going to be especially successful. This year, he's going to make $5 million. And then, beginning of next year, he'll die in the shootout. And that way I'll pay him off. Okay? And by the way, I want to note in parentheses that that is, according to some approaches, that's the depth behind what we say on Rosh Hashanah, that on Rosh Hashanah, Rishayim are sealed for death immediately and Tzaddikim are sealed for life. And the famous question, everybody has a hard time with that, is because, you know, sometimes Tzaddikim died. And sometimes Rishayim prospered. He was already in Russia last year. So what does it mean that Rishayim are immediately sealed for death? The answer is that, yeah, can have a Russia that Hashem is deciding now in Rosh Hashanah, this person now has to be put to death. But putting him to death is a process. Again, there are different things that have to be put in order before he can be put to death. One of them might be, again, dealing with outstanding accounts, which can include mitzvahs. That might mean 2 years of prosperity. And therefore, the fact that this tzaddik did not have 2 years of prosperity decreed upon him this year because he wasn't given a death sentence. There's no need to pay him off right now. Russia is given 2 years of prosperity because that is the bureaucracy. It's part of the red tape toward his death sentence. The 2 years of prosperity are actually a part of the death sentence. That's a big subject. We're not getting into that now. I just wanted to note that in parentheses. But getting back to our friend. Here is a Jewish gangster, a mafia leader. And Hashem decided too many averis, but he does have some mitzvahs. Okay, he's going to have an especially prosperous year this year. And then next year, he'll die in the shootout. The problem is, he made his millions. He made the 5 million that Hashem said is going to pay him off in this world. And then you know what happened? He was approached by some Rosh Yeshiva. He was inspired by... This was a good Rosh Yeshiva who did the job well. Turned him on to the value of Torah learning. And this man gave $2 million for supporting Yeshiva. Oh boy, what happens now? Now he suddenly earned a very great tzchus. What do we do with him now? So Hashem says, okay, we have to kind of replan the approach. Now he needs to be given another 3 years of prosperity after this one, because now we have to pay off those 2 million. That's not so simple. So now he has to have another 3 years of prosperity. He has now unwittingly caused a stay in his death sentence. He has to be given now another 3 years of prosperity to pay off those 2 million. And in these 3 years, he's going to make 15 million. But the problem is he's already been turned on to the concept of supporting Torah. And for every million he makes, he gives a half a million to tzedakah. What happens now? So to speak, Hashem's plan is being outsmarted, so to speak, unwittingly. But you know what? Hashem's happy with that. Hashem wants that. Hashem invites you to turn it around, to take the things that he actually intended as leading up to punishment and to turn them around into merit. By all means, Hashem is happy for the person to do that. And on the contrary, if what it was intended as a death sentence and started out as a death sentence actually turns the person around and gets him onto the right track, Hashem is more than happy to say, you know what, we're just going to redefine the whole thing. This was actually, forget it, retroactively, it turns out that it wasn't the death sentence. You know what it was? It was a prompt for him to do tshuva. And now that he's doing tshuva, I'm accepting him lovingly. The way the Chavis HaLevavot says this later is that when something does come upon you, and you don't, let's say some benefit again, and you don't know, is this Hashem paying me off? Is this a sign of Hashem's favor? Is it something in the middle? Maybe it's a test. The Chavis HaLevavot says the answer to the question is that it depends on what you do with it. It depends on what you do with it. If you use it as a means of going closer to Hashem, of furthering your service to Hashem, then forget about what the original intent was. It is now defined as something that was given to you as a means of getting closer to Hashem. And it's not going to be at the expense of your Olam Haba. So that's as far as that question goes. We're going to get to that. We'll see that later in the Chavetz HaLevavot, but I wanted to preempt it. It's something very important to understand. But now we move back to the second point he made, and that's what he's going to address now. What do you need to do? Again, you received the benefit. You already have the Chavetz HaLevavot mentality. And now you're thinking, okay, now I have to justify this benefit. I have to live up to it. How can you do that? The fact, especially since we've already seen earlier in Chavis HaLevavot, that really you can't repay any of Hashem's benefits. You have too much to repay. But the Chavis HaLevavot here is going to provide us with a formula. And he's going to say, if you can do the following, you are being yoytzeh. You are being yoytzeh, justifying, so to speak, Hashem's goodness to you. So now, let's begin Perek Shvi. Umasha Sha'alt, as for your questions of Al Hame'uta Shabavoida Salikin, what is the minimum level of dedication to Hashem? Shein Adam Yoitse Yedei Choyvasa Bipachas Mimeno, that a person, it's not yoytze, cannot be viewed as fulfilling his moral obligation to Hashem with less than that, in terms of justifying the goodness that Hashem gives you. If you want to, yes, you want to justify, so to speak, the chasadim that Hashem is doing for you, and be deserving, again, so to speak. There's no such thing as really being deserving of Hashem's tovus. But in the system that Hashem set up, to say, this is a person that I want to be doing tovus for, what are your responses to his tovus need to be in order to maintain that status? For Hashem to say, yes, this is a person who I want to be doing tovus to, they are justified. He is a person who justifies the good things that he receives. Hey, Masorah Inyanim. So he gives us 10 points to keep in mind. And these are really worth, you know, putting on a piece of paper and perhaps hanging on the fridge. You know, maybe we'll do that afterwards. Maybe we'll sum it up in writing. But that's Bli Neder. Let's see. But first, let's see it inside. 10 things. Mayhem. Number one is, this is very basic. If you receive the benefit for Hashem, from Hashem, don't use it against him. Don't use it against him. Meaning, don't use abilities or resources, gifts that Hashem gave you, in ways that work against him. If Hashem gave you power, or if Hashem gave you influence, charisma, use it to inspire people to Hashem's service. Use it to care for people. If a person is given power and he uses it in order to exploit the people under him, that's what he's talking about here. Or if Hashem gives a person influence and the person uses it in the wrong way, influencing people in the wrong way. This is true, you know. When a person is in any kind of position of public leadership, he's in a very, very tricky situation. Because how is he impacting the people who are under him? Is he influencing them to do things that are bringing them closer to Hashem, or Chalila, the opposite? If Hashem gives you money, don't use it in ways that go against him. Don't buy literature or other means of media or whatever it is that are going to be exposing you to things that are going to be metame you, etc. So that's number one. You received benefits from Hashem. Do not use them against him. Don't use them as things that are considered rebelling against him. Now I hope that is less relevant to us in practice. But we'll go on now to see the things that are relevant. Mayhem. Another condition to make yourself, again, quote unquote, deserving. I have to emphasize the quote unquote every time. Because when I say deserving, and I don't mean deserving, we are never really deserving of Hashem's tovus. They are always more than we deserve. What I mean to say is, I'll give this mashal. A parent spends money on a child, invests koiches in a child. They want to see nachas from the child. So the child is obedient. You aren't now paying your parents back for what they did for you, because you know, they spent a lot more money. Giving them is not of the same value as the money that they've put into you. But what? Yes, they're putting in that money. As a parent, they're putting in money in the hope of seeing your child acting like XYZ. So forget about whether they give you back the value or not. What I was envisioning when I put these koiches into this child is indeed coming to fruition. So that's the idea here. What is the minimum level that Hashem says, this is what I was hoping for. This is what I wanted when I gave a person benefits. This is what I wanted to see. So we're not calling it deserving, but we are calling it justifying Hashem's vision. I'm going to be from the people that Hashem says, that's why I give benefits. That's what I want to see. So one of them is, You should always be talking about the benefits that Hashem gives you, the favors of Hashem. And you should very much thank him and praise him, both in your heart and also externally. Meaning, you want to be characterized. You want to be the type of person who is regularly expressing appreciation of Hashem. You feel that appreciation. Again, you've been studying Shara Bechina. You're implementing Shara Bechina. You're learning to note and to sense the good that Hashem has put in your life. And so that's number one, feeling it inside and expressing it outwardly. This is very important. To be expressing it outwardly. You want to be a person who that's the way he talks. Your way of talking is talking about Hashem, about appreciation of Hashem, thankfulness to Hashem. Yes, people might look at you with a little bit of a raised eyebrow, but that's the type of person you are. You're the type of person who talks about, the fresh, naive, kind of idealistic person. Yeah, that's the type of person you are. The person who talks about, wow, look what Hashem did for us. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem is a very, very common Jewish expression. But it's really reflecting something. We want to be saying Baruch Hashem, not just in those words as a matter of rote, but to be saying, look, wow, look what Hashem did for me here. Look what Hashem did for me there. It should be a regular part of our talk. Now, here I want to make a point, because a person might feel, why do I have to be saying it? Isn't that just something external? Aren't these feelings really meant to be something that are between me and Hashem? Why is it important for other people to be hearing me say that? So there are two reasons, or I'd say two layers to the same reason. First of all, is because the more you express it, the more conscious you yourself become of it. Thoughts, as great as they are, inner feelings, as great as they are more solid, more anchored when they are actually given more physical expression, when they express themselves outwardly. You say things, they become more real in your own mind. When you're talking that way, it really becomes more real in your own mind. But there's another point also. And this was something that I appreciated. The pasuk that says, I appreciated this one. This really hit me. Baruch Hashem, we made a number of simchas recently. And I always used to have a hard time by simchas getting up and expressing out loud, publicly, when speaking at a personal simcha, express gratitude to Hashem. Because, you many times see people do it in a way that's just kind of like a preface to what they want to say. It's like lip service. We thank Hashem for everything he did for us. And now, here's the beautiful point I want to make. And it was kind of like, the feeling was, maybe I should really leave that not said, and give more focus to my inner feeling. But you know what? There is, first of all, David HaMelech said, I thank Hashem with all my heart. In the company of, he says, it's interesting. He says, "Besoid Yisharim ve'eda." But on the one hand, it's secretly, meaning it is primarily meant to be an inner experience. But in the company of righteous company, meaning you should be expressing it outward in the right type of company, that people will appreciate it. But expressing it outwardly, and you know why? Because another part of what we're trying to achieve is that this is the way our society works. We want to be a part of a circle of people where the talk is Chesed Hashem. If it's just an issue of the inner feelings, you're lacking the social support, the support of the people around you. When it's a whole society of people, when your circle talk this way, that brings it again, it makes it realer. Everybody is really going to be more connected to it. Everybody will be living it in a more real way. Now, of course, the flip side of that is that it can quickly turn into lip service. Fine, you have to deal with that. You have to deal with that. But let's not compromise. Let's not lose out on the value of being in a reality where that's how people talk, where that is the way things are expressed. And the more we do it, the more we're contributing to such a reality. So this is the second point that the Chavis Halevis is saying. If you want to be a person who is indeed, so to speak, deserving of the tovus that you get from Hashem, be talking about it. Be feeling it and be talking about it. Be a type of person that should be a part of your, they say sprach, a part of your manner of speech, is that you are often, regularly, expressing your thanks, expressing your appreciation for the tovus that Hashem has put into your life. Umehem. Another condition is, this is condition number three. Shelaitia nemivza unemuta be'enov. Do not put down, do not denigrate a chesed that Hashem does for you. Why would a person do that? That sounds strange. But you know what? It actually could be quite common. If a person says, for example, you know what? Try to think of the common case where you come home. Where you come home, let's say with something special for the kids. Okay? You want to surprise them with something. Now, you made the mistake of trying to get something different for each kid. Each kid, you got a different treat. What do you think each kid will like most? You do that on a private level, but I'm just talking strategically. When you come home with all the kids, that happened recently. There was a birthday party, a siyum or something, one of our kids, very well-meaning, the kid who made the siyum, tried to put together a special pekala with the things that he thought each kid would like. You know what happens then? Immediately, every kid looks around at the other pekala and sees all the good things that the other kid has that he doesn't have. Okay? So now, you give the kid something. Oh, this is stupid, and he throws it on the floor. Very upsetting, isn't it? So, what happens if we're given tevis by Hashem? And you know what? Let's say, for example, you are not exactly at the cutting edge of the people in your circle who are renovating their homes. And by now, a whole bunch of your friends have renovated, and your home is still in the same state that it was when you bought it. And you may find yourself saying something like, oh, my dump of an apartment, or something like that. Ooh, that's what the Chavis Halevis is talking about here. Hashem gave you a home. Don't call it a dump. Don't talk about my jalopy of a car. Don't talk about my dimwit of a child. We can find ourselves relating to Hashem's chasadim, things that are blessings in our life, but we would have liked for it to be even more. We would have liked for it to be even more. And therefore, what I have now is dumpy, it's stupid, it's lousy. Be careful, be careful. This can be true for a job. It can be true for a spouse. Be careful. If there's a certain problem, a certain challenge, so you can talk about that challenge, you can daven for that challenge, whatever it is. But Chalila, not to actually come and denigrate in a general way something that actually is a great chesed from Hashem. Have I told you the story about Rabbi Avigdor Miller with a grandchild of his once walked in? You must have heard this from me 20 times, but I'll tell it again anyways. A grandchild of him has once walked into the house and saw that he had filled the sink all the way up to the top. He had plugged the sink and filled it all the way up to the top, and he was standing with his face, with his head underwater. He's standing with his face underwater. Grandchild walked in and saw him like that, and he was a bit surprised. And he's watching him, and he's standing with his face, and he doesn't know what's going on, but he's standing with his face under the water for a certain amount of time, until finally he pulled his face out of the water and took a deep breath. He had to catch his breath. He had been holding his breath for all that time, you know, as his he couldn't breathe as long as his face was under the water. So his grandchild looking at him, and he said, I was walking down the street today, and I heard somebody complain about the dirty air, the polluted air of New York. And he said, it hit me hard because I spend a lot of effort appreciating the gift of air, appreciating the deliciousness of a breath of air. And an offhanded comment like that could ruin. It's a delicate business to build up such an appreciation as a delicate business. And an offhanded comment like that could smash it. It could smash a lot of effort. So I went and I decided, you know what? If New York air is so lousy, maybe I can do without it. So I put my head underwater for whatever amount of time it was, basically stretched himself to the limit. He said, and then I took my head out and I took a deep breath and I said, ah, New York air is very, very good. New York air is very, very good. You have a problem with pollution, talk about the problem with pollution, but don't forget what a gift air is, right? And don't, Chalila, put down Hashem's gift. But Victor Miller would point out, air is not just space. It's not just nothing. You go a little bit too far from Earth and you don't have it anymore. It's a limited commodity. It's a limited commodity that Hashem was, Baruch Hashem, generous with us. But it's a thin layer that is wrapping Earth, not a very big layer. It's a thin layer provided us with a medium to live. But these are all examples. The point being, don't make the mistake of actually speaking in a denigrating way, in a derogatory way, Chalila, about chasodim that we get from Hashem. That is another condition to being the type of person that Hashem wants to do tovus for. What else? Umehem. Another condition. Shelayitla bizulosa imti al yedem tzoi. Do not attribute the benefit to some other person. Often, Hashem provides us with benefits that come through other people. Let's say it's your job. You have an employer you have a very good relationship with, and he provides you with very, very good conditions, all kinds of benefits, and a generous salary. By the way, you know that a generous salary is only generous for the first couple of weeks after the raise. After that, it's not generous anymore. Generous salary means that you recently got a raise. I'm being sarcastic, right? We want to be able to appreciate it even for a longer time. But let's say right now you are 2 weeks after the raise, you're still under the effect, okay? And you feel like, Baruch Hashem, I have such a great situation, a job with so many benefits and such a generous salary. Wow, it's such a good thing I have Mr. Feldman in my life, my employer, right? And you really start attributing your comfortable state to Mr. Feldman. Now, he's a wonderful person, Mr. Feldman, but he is not the cause of your taiva. Sheyoida and tzoi. You don't want to reach a situation where you are focusing all your thanks on the middleman. And you forget that this is really Hashem's favor to you. Mr. Feldman is really just a conduit. Hashem decided that he wants to show you favor. He wants to show you a smile. And he did it through this employer. And you completely forget about Hashem. Chalila. It would be like, you know, being invited. I think, did I tell you about the very amazing sight that I saw when I was by Shabbos Sheva Brachas, my brother-in-law's Shabbos Sheva Brachas in Borough Park, in a nice hall. And then somebody at one point came over to me, one of the other relatives told me, go downstairs, look what's going on. There was two floors. This hall had two floors. He generally made affairs on two floors. On Shabbos, so he would have, you know, whatever he was hiring it out for on the top floor. On the bottom floor, he catered Shabbos Sudas for the needy. Mamish, full style, fancy, high level, catered Shabbos Sudas for the needy. Went downstairs, it was an inspiring sight, a collection of people, all kinds of people. The tables were set beautifully, a whole spread of tables, all set in the same style as for the customers upstairs. And a beautiful, lavish Shabbos Suda. For needy people would come in off the street on a weekly basis, on a one-time basis, whatever it is. It was always there. Inspiring sight. So imagine if you have one of these people who goes over afterwards and tells the waiter, I'm mamish so grateful to you. This was so nice of you to be bringing me all that food. And he doesn't make a point of going over to the balabais. So you know what? You should say a nice thank you to the waiter. But you meant to understand that the real thank you is reserved for the host. You say thank you to the waiter also because it's a matter of derech eretz, and because at the end of the day, this waiter was making your experience pleasant. But the waiter is not the cause of your meal. And the waiter is not really where the full weight of your thanks should go. So here also, Hashem chose a waiter. Perhaps Hashem maybe even made him be successful in his business because he wanted you to have a good job. So do not attribute it to the means, to the human means, and forget about Hashem. Be very careful with this. Look at the different taivas in your life, the things that you're happy about, and look through their causes, their seeming causes, and remember that the real thanks go to Hashem. Really, these are expressions of His favor. This is something that's discussed at length in Shara Bitachim. We'll get there, Mitz Hashem. Probably no time soon at the rate we're going. So that is condition number 4. Remember to attribute the taiva to its true cause. Condition number 5, umehem. And this is similar to the 4th, but a bit different. Let's say you are Mr. Feldman. You're not Mr. Feldman's employee. You're Mr. Feldman. I guess in this case, it would have to be you are Ms. Feldman. Okay? So now, you, Baruch Hashem, are very successful. You built up a great business, a great enterprise. I'm using the example of business, but there's obviously all kinds of, you can obviously apply it to the very many areas of life where this is relevant. And you think to yourself, wow, look at that. I was diligent. I had great ideas. I was creative. Now the problem is not that you're attributing it to some other human. The problem is that you're attributing it to yourself. I am the cause of my tovah. Yes, I worked hard. I can serve as an example for other people. And you think, yes, I'm deserving of this. I worked for this. I created this. No, be careful here too. And remember that even the abilities and the ideas are all because Hashem decided He wants to show you that favor. So don't forget that. So these 2 points come together to show the same point. Remember what the true cause is. This is what makes you be the type of person that Hashem says, I want to be doing tovahs for him. I made him into a wealthy person. I made him a successful person. I made him a person with special talents. But he's remembering that all those are gifts from me. That's the type of person I want to be showing favor to. Umehem, another reason, and this also connects to the previous two. All these three are very much in the sugya of bitachon. We'll see. But umehem, another condition is shelayale b'machshavde sheyasmida b'ishtadlusay ba. Do not make the mistake of thinking that your efforts are the cause of it. Now, this is a fine difference from the previous one. The previous one is seeing it as me. I'm the cause of it. The other one is more like, I'm a humble guy, but I see that, investing in this and this company is reason for success. And therefore, I want to make sure to keep my investments well in this company. This company is a key to success. No, don't attribute it to the efforts either. Realize so many people put in the efforts. There is no formula to making efforts that will prove successful in Parnassus. There's no formula to that. We all know that, right? So many people put in efforts. Some make it big, some don't. And for every person that made it big, you'll have 10 people who put in the same type of efforts and the same creativity, et cetera, and did not make it big. So don't say, wow, that's a good thing to be involved in. It's Hashem's favor. Don't, so it's saying three things. Don't convince the person who's providing you with the benefit for the truth. Don't confuse him for the true source. Don't confuse yourself for the true source. And don't confuse your efforts for the true source. Always remember what the true source is. And don't let the mediums get in the way. If you can do that, then once again, you're the type of person that Hashem says, this is the type of person I want to be giving benefits to. Okay? We've saw the first five. We'll save the next five to next week, Emitz Hashem. But now, I just want to bring up a suggestion, see what the Olam has to say. What does the Olam say about the possible idea of resuming the Shiurim live after Pesach in the hall? We don't know if this is possible, but assuming it is.
Yes, very exciting.
Great idea.
Marvelous.
Yeah. Okay. If anybody has a particular problem with it, let me know. This is something that perhaps we'll work towards. I'll also stress that if it could be that it's possible to continue doing the Zoom also at the same time, if there's a need. If there isn't a need, meaning if there's a need means that there's one person that it doesn't work for. There's one person that doesn't work for, that justifies continuing the Zoom. But if there isn't a need, I would like to move it back to a track of actually doing it properly in person. But again, everybody, if you have particular comments, let me know, and perhaps we'll make this an objective. Mitzvah Hashem to aim to try to resume in live after Pesach. Okay, we'll end the recording here, and then I'll stay on to address a couple of the questions that came in. Okay.